you for being here. I know we welcome those who are listening outside, and we thank you for your presence as well here today. We're met here, we few, and in no way does that represent you. I know this would have been such a different occasion if it were in different circumstances. I'm sure the church would have been heaving with folk from so many different places, for Jimmy was so well regarded and so loved, and it's so unfortunate that today we can only have so few. But nonetheless, we are here to give thanks to Almighty God for the life and work of James Cecil Stuart. He is already blessed. He has already gone before us into the radiant light of God's own eternal presence. It was for this very reason that God sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, to die, so that we might be free from our slavery to sin and to death. But while we are glad for Jimmy that he is free from the frustrations and limitations of his illness, we nonetheless do feel and will continue to feel the sadness of this separation. And my sincerest sympathy goes out to all of you. To all of you who knew him best and loved him most and will miss him most. Death is always something of a bewildering, unnerving mystery. We can anticipate it. We can even expect it. In some cases, people even hope for it. But when it comes at the end, it still finds us ill-prepared, unwilling to let go of one that we have loved for so long. The truth is, whenever it comes, that end is not the end that it appears to be, but also a new start, a fresh beginning. We know this because our Saviour, Jesus Christ, went down into the darkness of death and came back from it in full strength, like the sun on one of these beautiful bright mornings. So as we begin our service today, let's place our hands into the strong hand of Almighty God, our Father in heaven, and let's draw comfort from the words of Scripture this morning. I want to turn first of all to the Old Testament and read familiar words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And coming into the New Testament, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. For when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then that saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And then lastly, I want to read these words of John, of Christ himself, as we find them in John's Gospel. Christ was looking with some trepidation to his own death, and he could see his disciples were distressed at the prospect, and he said these words. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. You know the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." Amen. And the Lord bless these readings. Pray together as we come to reflect on Jimmy's life and to study a little of God's word. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, on days like these we are so very aware of human frailty, so very aware of our own weaknesses. Father, today we are filled with a sense of grief, a sense of loss. One who was so precious to us has gone at last to his eternal rest. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the blessing that you gave us in Jimmy. We want to thank you for his character. We want to thank you for his kindness. We want to thank you for his love, for his sense of humor. We want to thank you for his gentleness, Lord, and for his deep wisdom. Heavenly Father, we ask even now that you would bring to our mind such memories, memories that are treasures, memories that we will treasure going forward. We ask, Lord, that you would be so very present in this moment, here among us, for we gather in Jesus' name. We gather to acknowledge the gift that Christ has won for us, the gift of an eternity in the presence of the one we love, in the presence of our brothers and sisters who know and love you. Father, we ask that you would be very clearly evident with us, that you will continue to whisper to us of your mercy and your grace, and walk with us through these shadows, for you promise never to leave us or abandon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm possibly going to be telling you things that many of you will know already. It's good to remember and reflect on the life of our loved one. Jimmy was born and brought up in Malham in County Donegal. He was the eldest of five children, with two sisters, Ethel, who still lives in Donegal, and Audrey, who lives now in Ballycastle, and two brothers, Howard from Donegal, and Morris, who now lives in the USA. He was brought up in the Presbyterian Church there in Malham, and it was there as a young man that he came to faith in Jesus Christ as his Saviour and Lord. A faith that was still at the very heart of his character, right to the end of his life. As a child, he attended primary school in Malham, going on to attend boarding school at Foy College in Londonderry, before going to Queen's, where he got his first degree in chemistry. As a young man, Jimmy was also a talented athlete, competing nationally at the very highest level after an equally successful time on the rugby field, where he played at club level, and subsequently going on to enjoy competing again as a keen amateur golfer. And even when that was over, his competitive streak still needed to find an outlet, and he soon found that bridge was a great way of continuing to feel the challenge of the joy of victory. Sports, you may have gathered, were something quite important to Jimmy. Stephen was telling me the other day, apparently he used to keep a record of the boys' high jump and long jump in the back garden. So it's good to set some standards, and I'm sure that record will still be available whenever you come to put together your CV, guys, should you require. It's no great surprise that his sons and grandsons followed in his footsteps as keen sportsmen in their own rights. Week after week, right there in the touchline, during their school rugby careers, Jimmy became a familiar figure, offering support and encouragement, often managing to take in two matches on a Saturday whenever he could. And he was a proud grandfather and a proud father and loved to see his boys all doing well. Of course, it wasn't all about sport, and Jimmy was also a hard-working and talented student and enjoyed significant success in his career as a chemist. Shortly after he graduated, he took up an offer of employment from Lever Brothers and moved to work in Port Sunlight on Merseyside. It was while he was there that he met and fell in love with Pat, and the happy couple were married in 1960. It was around the same time that Jim was offered a bursary by Lever Brothers to study for his PhD at Leeds University, an opportunity that he was happy to take up. It was clearly quite a busy time in the life of the young Stuart family, as Paul and Terry were both born during the first part of the 1960s. I'm sorry Terry's not able to be with us today, but obviously the current circumstances make that extremely difficult. But nonetheless, our thoughts and prayers are with Terry today as well. Shortly after they were born, Jim brought the family back to live in Carrickfergus in the mid-60s. And shortly afterwards, again, they relocated for the last time to Whitehead, where the family was pleased to welcome the baby when Stephen was born. Sadly, after many happy years together, Pat took cancer and passed away in 2005, which was a dreadful blow for Jimmy. With the support of family and friends, Jimmy embraced the next season of his life and devoted himself afresh to children and grandchildren, particularly enjoying the time he spent with the boys while they were growing up. Jimmy was often the one who was collecting from school and bringing home and looking after, and then I don't know how much cooking he was involved in doing. I suspect it wasn't a lot, but I'm sure his love shone through in whatever he did. He was very fond because it wasn't just the boys that Jimmy loved, and he was also extremely fond of Sharon, the daughter that he never had. He was especially fond, I think there was quite a bit of banter going on between the two of them. Although apparently he wasn't especially confident of her driving. I don't want to go any further with that. Apparently, he would often take a lift from Jackie Crooks rather than take a lift from you, Sharon. I'm sure it was nothing personal. Maybe it was, but he loved you deeply. He was very proud of Stephen's choice. He was really overall very fond of the Stuart family wags, and was very fond of the girls that each of the boys brought to. I don't think they were quite brought for inspection, but they certainly they passed muster. And Alana, in particular, who was one of his carers in Carrick Manor, was in a great place to show her care for him. But also Chloe and Kira, and he was very proud of the whole family. In the past 12 years, as I've got to know Jimmy myself, I've been delighted to encounter someone of such sincere faith. Jimmy's faith was always so much more than skin deep. He truly believed with all his heart in the breadth and depth of Jesus' grace and mercy. His faith was in a generous God, a God who loves even when people may not seem to deserve love, a God who cares when no one else will, a God who always gives someone a second chance. As an elder in Whitehead Presbyterian Church, Jimmy brought a profound sense of compassion to the role, alongside this sense of responsibility and dedication. He was never interested in seeking glory for himself, always more likely to speak up on someone else's behalf rather than to speak for himself. He was a staunch supporter of the underdog and of speaking out for those who have no voice to speak for themselves. He was fervently anti-sectarian during a time in our nation when sectarianism was sadly common. I heard a story of many years ago in Whitehead, someone vandalized a local property overnight and dubbed the property with some horrible graffiti, telling somebody they weren't welcome here. It was Jimmy and a friend who took some paint and walked down in broad daylight his way of saying in no uncertain terms those words were wrong. Those words were not acceptable in his time. He was such a kind man. He supported before he took ill himself, he had supported a friend of his with dementia. Very quietly and contented to do so. And I'm sure his presence was a great reassurance and comfort. In his later years, as he faced the challenge of dementia himself, he was delighted that Paul was able to come and be his companion and live there with him, taking him out for trips and cooking meals. And I know Paul, he continued to do that even while he was in the nursing home. Don't know about the meals. He did take him out for trips every so often, and he really appreciated that. Jimmy was certainly a goer in terms of his energy level, so anything that took him out for a bit of a walk would have been appreciated. I remember whenever he stopped being able to drive, I remember he became such a familiar sight, striding out around Whitehead, zooming, because he could fairly move, zooming up the Slaughterford Road and in through Brooklands, and honestly, I needed to get my car if I was going after him. So he was quite the sight to see, and he very much appreciated the love and care of his family at that time. I remember when he told me about his diagnosis, and he was quite open about it. He was, I suppose, typically Jimmy. He wasn't hiding behind anything. He was quite prepared to face it and to do whatever he could to make sure that he did as well as he could. The family would also like to say a word of thanks to the staff in Carrick Manor, which became his home from 2019. The care there, he always felt was superb, always managed to be more than professional. also to the staff in Antrim Hospital, who also played a significant part in looking after him, particularly in these last weeks since he took so particularly ill. He was a man of quiet faith and firm conviction. After ICI, he worked for a while in ICI as a chemist when he came back here. He even then went into teaching and joined the staff in Lauren Grammar, where he enjoyed both teaching and maybe that was where he developed his skills in rugby coaching, which I'm sure he was able to share and was willing to share on a frequent basis. When we have done everything that we know to do, and have said everything that we know to say, we often realize it's not enough. Death comes, and death forces us to trust in the Almighty's boundless love. Death, we come to the end of our human knowledge, our human power, human intellect, even human comfort. We are, at last, I suppose, forced to come and speak with God, to turn to Him and find that He is an endless source of mercy. An endless source of comfort. To have such a God to trust in, the one that Jimmy trusted in and knew. One who knew him utterly, who was filled with boundless forgiveness and infinite patience. That's a glorious fact to lean on, even now. A young minister was called to the bedside of an elderly member of his congregation. She was approaching the end of her life, and the minister was a bit unsure of what to do and what to say. But he did the right thing. He came and he was with her, and he spoke to her, and he blessed her. But he was so sad, because he could see her death was inevitable. And she saw how sad he was. And he said he wished there was more that he could do. And she said, "Don't be afraid for me. Don't be afraid, young man. Don't be afraid, because my father owns the land on both sides of the river. So whether we're here or whether we're there, I am in the hands of Almighty God." And that's a word I want to share with you today. I want to remind you today. Jimmy has not gone to some dark and horrible place. He's gone to that place that has been prepared for him through the long ages of time. That place that has been made perfect for him. I can't begin to describe it to you. You know Jimmy well, and you'll know exactly the kind of place that God must have made for him. A place with plenty of space, plenty of long walks, and I suppose it has to be a rugby pitch, maybe a running track. And he will have restored to him his fitness and his wit and his memory, all of those things that sadly were growing weaker over these last years. But all of that is history now, because he has a future. A future in the presence of the living God. A future filled with love. Jesus taught us that we shouldn't be afraid of something that can just destroy the body. Rather, he said, fear one who can destroy soul and body. We do tend to focus on our bodies. We tend to focus on what we can see and touch. And yet we know that there's more to us than what we can see and touch. We know there is our mind. know there is what we call our heart. We know there is our whole self. That's what makes us different from the animals. That we have souls. And these bodies are mere houses for our souls. So for Jimmy, this is not the end. It's merely a step. A step through to glory. It was for this that Christ came. It was for this that Christ died. That this need not be something to be afraid of. I hope and pray that you will know God's blessing as you, even as you grieve, and that God will bring to your mind good, glad, and joyful memories. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, that we should not sorrow over departed loved ones. He didn't mean we weren't to shed a tear, but he meant it shouldn't be the sorrow of the hopeless, for it should be the sorrow of the hopeful. Jimmy has been gathered up, lifted up to life eternal, lifted to his home place in paradise. He will be much missed. By his sisters Echo and Audrey, his brothers Howard and Morris, his sons Paul, Terry and Stephen, his daughter-in-law Sharon, his grandsons Matthew, David and Philip, and by all those who knew and loved him best. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. I'm just going to close with a word of prayer. And this will be a prayer of committal. Perhaps you could stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we are entrusting our brother James Cecil Stewart into your hands. We now commit his body to be cremated, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. We place our confidence in the love of God who never lets us go. We claim the victory of Jesus Christ who conquered death for us. And we take to heart the comfort of the Holy Spirit who carries us through to life eternal. Lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray. Comfort our sorrowing hearts. Pour out that peace that passes understanding into the hearts of all that are grieving today. Shower the assurance of your love on this whole family, on all those who will miss Jimmy most, because they loved him best. Heavenly Father, thank you that our times are in your hand. For you are the God of time and eternity. We bless you that you are God. And we give you thanks and praise for all that you've done for us, and all that you've won for us, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, today and forever and ever.